Please take your Bibles and turn now to the book of Matthew. Matthew 25, it's found on page 1143 to 1144, the Bibles provided there in your rows. And we want to look at verses 14 to 30, which is basically the parable of the talents. Matthew 25, 14 to 30, the parable of the talents. Let us give our attention to the reading and hearing of God's Word this morning. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5. Then he who had received, and likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he had received 5 talents, came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he who will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. May he add his richest blessing to the reading and hearing of it this morning. I want you to imagine with me for a moment that you're able to take a flight. And as you get on the flight, you notice that there are individuals who are dressed up in the colors of the airline, and they're identified as stewards or stewardesses. But these stewards or stewardesses are different than what you normally observe. You see, normally the stewardess is the one who sometimes helps you to get to your seat. They help you with your luggage overhead or getting it before you. They check to make sure that your seat belt is buckled and your tray tables are in the upright and locked position and all that good stuff. And if you need help or assistance through the flight, they do that. But these are different. These stewards and stewardesses aren't there on the flight, but instead they've decided to be on the outside of the plane, and they're now starting to take over in order to reconfigure everything that you see in relation to that plane. If they believe that the wings need to be shorter, they're going to change those. Or if they believe that the colors aren't right for the company, they're going to even make sure that all of that is happening. Now, as you observe this or see this, you would probably call security. Why? Because these individuals have taken to themselves a greater responsibility than what is necessary for their task at hand. You see, because the responsibility of the steward is that they work for the company, and in the work that they do, they perform it based on whatever the company has asked them to do. And therefore, they can't change policy, they can't change colors, and they can't change other things in relation to the flight. They're there simply to serve in order to make sure that within the inside of the plane, things go well and smoothly. Well, in a similar manner, Jesus has also given us an account of some stewards or stewardesses. But they're not on a flight, but instead they're assigned a task in order to take care of monies that a master has left for them. And Jesus then notes that some do well and one not so well. Jesus gives this story to us in the context of having noted in Matthew 24 the events that are to transpire with the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70, as well as then those things that will happen at the end of the age. And during this time, he then tells the story of the wise and the foolish virgins who were called to be vigilant and watchful and prayerful as they await the coming of Christ. And in this passage this morning, verses 14 through 30, he then gives the account of the gift of talents and the call and responsibility for individuals to be diligent and faithful in the tasks that God has given them. And so in this call to diligence and faithfulness, we see that there are talents that have been given to the church that are on loan to them that are then to be used, and those individuals will then give an account for their uses. It's a call ultimately to us, and what we should see is that we as the people of God should have an unswerving adherence to the Lord Jesus Christ and utilize the resources that He gives us for His honor and glory as He has given us talents on loan from God. This morning we want to see, firstly, that the talents are loaned, secondly, that the talents are then used, and thirdly, that the talents are then accounted. Loaned, use, accounted. Well, Jesus tells us how this loaning occurs or takes place. He says that there is a rich man who's getting ready to go on a journey. And as he prepares to go do this, he calls his servants to them. And based on the abilities of each of the servants, he then provides them with gifts accordingly. Now, when we hear this word talent, we immediately think, oh, well, you know, sports or creativity or artistic or something else. But that's not how Jesus is using this word. He's basically accounting for a sum of money. And the idea here of this amount of money is quite astounding. It's a lot of money. Basically, one talent was the value of wages that were earned over the course of anywhere from 20 to 35 years. 20 to 35 years worth of wages were the equivalent of one talent. So now you start putting that together as to the amount that was given. Let's say, for example, that a salary was $30,000 a year, and you multiply that over 20 years, $600,000 to anywhere upwards of $1 million. Now, you might think to yourself, this has got to be a little ridiculous, right? I mean, would individuals actually do this? Yeah, they would. There were accounts and stories during Jesus' day where individuals would leave their homes and they would go elsewhere for 6 months or so. And as they would then have stewards that they would trust with their goods and their homes. And they would expect then a good return on the responsibilities that were set before them. Well, these individuals then needed to get to work. Why is it important that we hear this account for us? Why is Jesus sharing this with his disciples? After all, we don't necessarily have promises in God's word that God is somehow going to bless each of us with a talent worth of income or goods. You're right. But there are all sorts of gifts that God has given. The point about the talents being loaned is to cause us to see that Christ, as head of the church, has also loaned gifts to every one of us who are a part of his people. One author noted that these talents can include anything from gifts to influence to money to knowledge or strength or time or intellect, your affections, your privileges, even your advantages can all be included in the gifts that Christ has given you. And the responsibility then that we have as the people of God is that we take these things that have been provided to us and we utilize them, we implement them, we avail ourselves of them. That as Christ has entrusted us with His possessions, and He has endowed us with His abilities, and as He is away in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, and bringing all things under His power and His authority and His dominion, He calls us as His members to utilize and implement these gifts in the lives of His people in the church. Now with this, we note that one had received five, and one had received two, and one had received one. And Jesus is very clear. He says in verse 15, it's to each according to his own ability. We all differ. God hasn't equipped each of us the same way. Some are five talent members and others are two and others are only one. But the importance isn't what do you have, but rather your willingness to use these gifts for the good benefit of your members and for the glory of God. Notice how this use takes place. We see in terms of this text that he who had received five, verse 16, went and traded with them and made another five. And likewise, he received two, gained two more also. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of the servants came and settled accounts with them. Two of them immediately got to work. They didn't know how long their master was going to be away. They didn't know how long it would be until he would come back. But they did know that they wanted to serve him. And as a result, they diligently applied their talents. They were motivated and they had great affection for their master and therefore sought to be fruitful. The other, full of fear and disdain, simply took this gift and said, no big deal, buried it in the ground. There was no activity with it. He simply did nothing with it. The point being is that God has allocated gifts to us. In the allocation of them, we are to use them. There isn't to be a sense of jealousy or resentment in relation to who has what, but rather a celebration and an excitement that as God has equipped each of us, that we might use them as a means of serving the Lord and serving His people. God has given all sorts of resources, and He calls us to show great love and loyalty in the life of service as we go about our lives as His people. The Christian life isn't to be viewed upon in terms of drudgery or disdain or sadness, but rather it's to be viewed as a tremendous opportunity, no matter the circumstance, for the opportunity for the display of gifts to be seen. That opportunity is present as we are a part of this church, this congregation, that God has equipped every one of us. In the account of the three servants, everyone had gifts. There wasn't one who didn't receive nothing. All received something. All was called to implement and to utilize it and to apply it. Not simply so that they might go, look at the talents I have, but instead look at how God might shine forth through my talents for the benefit of those who are able to avail themselves of it. What motivated these individuals as they applied their talents? Well, there was a sense of love and loyalty, was there not? After all, they were loyal because the master said, do this, and they got to work right away. There was, in the sense of that loyalty, also a love. After all, they had to at least appreciate the honor and privilege and responsibility that had been given to them to be entrusted with such a great amount without the immediate oversight of the master present. And they knew the master had said, one day I'll come back and I want to see what's going to happen and take place in relation to the gifts that I have given. And so these individuals, out of love and loyalty, work. And we see all sorts of things that occur accordingly. We also see then that the one who did nothing simply sought to bury his gift. There was no loyalty to his master. There was no love for the privilege that was given to him. There was no appreciation even of that which had been given. And consequently, he saw it to be insignificant and set it aside and left it alone. Well, you and I have a responsibility as well as those who are stewards in the house of God, to use whatever gifts, whatever opportunities, whatever circumstances and situations are before us, to use those things as a means of being able to honor and praise and glorify our God. This applies not only for those who are old, but also those who are young. As those who are members of the covenant community of God's people, as those who belong to the church, even children can have gifts given to them by God where they can be utilized. Children, do you realize that there is something quite special to see your presence here? Because by seeing you here, it's a reminder to us that God keeps His promise. Because another generation is growing up to express love for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By you being here and saying hi to others in the church, you don't know how your smile or how your look or how your word might help somebody else because they may be feeling down or discouraged. And just a simple smile that you conveyed was able to pick them up. You don't understand what a joy it is that when you go and you visit someone who is older than you and you take time out of your day to express to them that they mean something to you and you're thinking about them, that picks them up. When you send a note or you send a text or you make a phone call, all of that is a way to encourage. Some of you have opportunity as you're older to do a little more. You have opportunity to serve as an usher or as a greeter. That is a way of being able to express support. When you take opportunity to use your gifts of song, you are speaking the word of God to us, and as a result, we then are encouraged and strengthened. When you go a little further, and whether it's work in the nursery, so parents might be able to be here and participate in worship. Or you seek opportunity to teach Sunday school, to serve on various committees within the church, to see work accomplished through the life of Trinity Reformed Church. All these things, no matter how great, how small, no matter if everyone sees it or only one sees it or none see it, when these things are exercised for the good of the church and the glory of God, talents are being used and the Lord blesses it accordingly. So what talents has God given you? All Christians have them. No Christian is able to say, oh, I got my get out of talent free card. Everyone has them. What are they? But more importantly, as you identify what they are, how are you using it? And I don't just simply mean how are you using it globally, or how you're using it on Facebook, or how you're using it at your school. All those things are wonderful. But how are you using it here? How are you seeking to use your gifts, your abilities, your talents that God has given you as a means of edification and encouragement for your saints here at Trinity? Those talents, even as Jesus identifies the sum of money, could be that God has blessed you with wealth. Do you regularly and faithfully give to support the work of the church? That's a means of allowing this church to continue and to go forth, to be able to preach the gospel and be engaged in this area of the globe. Jesus notes that as talents were loaned, it was for the goal and purpose of being used. But we also see that there is then an accounting of these things. Because we see that verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. There was a day of reckoning. There was a means whereby all had to give an account for what they had done with what had been given to them. The scriptures speak of this idea before the people of God. For example, if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 and 10, we see this: therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. There is an accounting that occurs. Now, in relation to the story, we see that the one who had been given five and the one who had been given two, we see that they're doubled. Ultimately, the response of the master to these two servants proceeds as thus. First, there's a pat. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Then there's praise. Well done, good and faithful. Then there's a promotion. In light of all that has happened, then receive more. And then there's a position of prominence. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Isn't that amazing declaration? These individuals, simply out of love and loyalty, not looking at the responsibility with disdain or a hardship or, oh, this is going to be such a great difficulty. What am I going to do with all this money, all these resources? Instead, they immediately say, hey, I just want to see that my master is benefited and praised and he's honored by the things that I do. And so they go forth and they do it. And the master comes back and he goes, this is great. Attaboy. Good job. Come sit with me and let me give you even more things. But then you have this one, the one who buried his talent. And you see this response in his part, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, it's yours now. You take it. This is an amazing thing that he says. You basically see the sense in which potentially the servant took all this time after he'd buried his talent to go, now, I know I got to say something. What do I tell him? And ultimately what he ends up doing is he says, you know what? It's your fault that you gave me this silly thing in the first place. After all, I know what kind of individual you're like. You want others to break their backs for you so that you don't have to put forth your effort. And I don't know that I can be with someone like that. In fact, that kind of person just scares me. He assigns and labels all this guilt and blame at the Master. But think about this for a moment. A talent was given to him. Did the Master have to give him a talent? No. He recognized something in this individual to say, there's ability, and therefore I think it makes sense for me to give this to this one. He didn't see the privilege. He didn't see the honor of being chosen. He didn't see the greatness of the task before him. Instead, it all came down to, you're just a hard guy, and you do all sorts of things that I don't agree with, and therefore, I just hid your talent, and you take it back. And what does the Master say? If you thought these things about me, the least you could have done was gotten some sort of commendation because you at least earned some simple interest on it. But no, you couldn't even do that. What is Jesus conveying to us here? He's noting that there is an accounting that will take place. But this accounting isn't based on whether or not we can earn our salvation. This isn't a situation where Jesus is somehow touting for us that if you put forth your best effort, well, God will receive that and you'll be able to have a position in heaven. Rather, he's identifying that those who are a part of his kingdom, a part of his people, who have professed their understanding of salvation to be by God's grace alone, through the finished work of Jesus Christ, as they're marked out under that belonging and that understanding, they then want to respond with much gratitude for all that God has given them. And therefore, they want to abide as members of His kingdom to seek His honor and glory in their lives and in His church. And they will then one day stand and give an account for what they did or didn't do. The first two individuals demonstrated that they rightly understood that because there was the demonstration and display of the fruit of God's grace that was effectively working in their lives. Grace shines forth in gratitude. Grace shines forth in gratitude. And so with thanksgiving, these guys respond, they work, they labor, they see the Master, they're excited, and they say, look at what all has happened because of what you gave to us. But the third individual doesn't show that. The third individual begins to reveal where his heart truly is. For he doesn't respond with thanksgiving, but rather disdain. Disdain responds in despair, and despair leads to an ultimate hatred of the one who is at work. He was filled with fear, and his fear overshadowed the love and the faith that God put on display. He's ultimately conveying where his heart truly lies. And he then says there is a response accordingly. He says, take this individual, take his talent, give it to another, and cast this one into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The consequence that we see as there is an account that is given is that there are only two places where the end result goes. Enter into rest and favor with Christ and His people, or to be eternally separated from Him forevermore, cast into hell and darkness. Jesus is not saying that a believer can lose his salvation, but He is saying that one who is pretending will be exposed, and that exposure will not allow him to dwell in heaven or on the outskirts of heaven or some tent that sits right next to the pearly gate. But ultimately that one will be forever separated from God and dwelling in the lake of fire. The disdain and the despair and the hardship and the ache of that fire never ends. Its fire never goes out. Its heat never diminishes and never stops. The fear only compounds itself all the more. The circumstance only causes even more frustration and more angst and more hatred towards the living God who has exercised His justice. And justice only comes even more and even more and even more. And it's this circumstance of despair and sorrow and eternal hurt and hopelessness. And it seemed because this one had a heart that said, I don't value my master, and I don't value the treasures that He has given me. God has put His talents on loan to His church. And the response of one's talents, the response to the talents that God gives, ultimately reflects the heart that underlies it. That heart can be one that says, whatever the Lord calls us to do and whatever circumstance He puts us in, we will follow and pursue. Or that heart ultimately says, I don't care. I don't care for Him. I don't care for what He gives. And I will simply go about my life and my business in my day. For the unbeliever, for the one who remains in that position, for the one who is separated from the church and is yet truly to understand the issue of their sin before a holy God, their offense of that God because of their sin, and their then being separated from Him and having to then one day give an account to Him for all that they've done, all that they've thought, all that they've said, which will only lead to condemnation and hell. That's the promise for you if you remain there now. But there can be the position and relationship of recognizing the master of the house and hearing the call or the warmth of His commendation where He says, well done, you were faithful, I'll make you ruler over many things, enter into the joy of your Lord. It's when you understand who Jesus Christ is, that He is the only way, the only truth, the only life, that He is the one whom God has given as the means whereby His hate for sin has been turned and satisfied, and the extension of His love may be received. But those of you who have embraced that and believed that and confessed that, Jesus then calls us to be good stewards, to be those who utilize the resources and gifts that He has given as a means of promoting His name so that when He returns, He will find us faithful. May we be like those stewards that we referenced at the beginning. Those stewards who understand the position, who seek to help and serve however they can, and not as those who seek to take over and change the setup or the color or the makeup of the plane, but fulfill their responsibilities and cause all who interact with them along the way to have great enjoyment and ultimately get great praise to the God who that one has served.